Welcome to the Lonely TARDIS, your journey through Time Lords and space, the Summer Special 2014. There hasn't been Doctor Who in a while, but we are still around, and we have all gathered once again to bring you the latest and greatest and most wonderfulest Doctor Who experience outside of Cardiff, of course. I am Dolly Domofsky. Joining me as usual is Marcus Beer.
Hello.
I don't want to say gelded Marcus Beer, but the goateed Marcus Beer. Fantastic goatee.
Gelded? I know I used a high-pitched voice there, but come on.
Steve and Strum's beautiful little laugh there, the giggle.
Yeah, my titter, if you will.
Hey-o, I didn't want to. What? We're still rated PG. All right. And we also have Sean Norton somehow.
Hello.
Sean has been the most difficult person to get a hold of because I think we had issues getting him on the finale shows and the time of the Doctor and the day of the Doctor. And
I don't recall issues. I think one of them is ripped, roaring, and ready to go.
I think it was the season finale you were on.
Sean, I think you don't remember the issues because you weren't there.
It's a whole lifetime ago now.
Well, wonderful gentlemen, doctors, companions, thank you for coming together on this wonderful summer evening. I was just about to say this wonderful summer's eve, but I don't want to take it that far. But we have a fantastic show. The teaser trailer-ish, the second teaser trailer, the extended teaser trailer for the Doctor Who season. Whoa! And Steven is sliding everything up. Debuted just a couple days ago. Yeah, we can hear that.
What is happening?
Steven's turning into a Zygon.
I was trying to give you guys the best possible angle on my glorious visage here.
You mean right up your nostrils?
Audio sacrifices had to be made. That's yeah.
I think audio sacrifices are made every time we record. We just watched the season 8 teaser trailer, and I'm excited. I don't know about you guys. We have a date now. It's August 23rd, Saturday. We're all going to be glued in front of our home TVs, right, everybody?
Oh, yeah. Like, got my big 52-inch TV ready to go, just like everybody else on this podcast, I'm sure.
Sean, you're going to be right in front of your television as well. We all know Marcus is going to be in front of his TV.
Marcus is going to be in Honduras.
It's a long way to go to watch Doctor Who, dude.
Trust me, I am taking steps. I have friends who are getting married in a glorious resort an island just off the coast of Honduras, and I love them dearly. And if I hadn't figured out other ways to be able to watch Doctor Who, I would not be going to this anyway.
Let me ask this question. What was your reaction when you found out that the date of the premiere of Doctor Who was on the weekend you were going to be gone? Like the moment you saw that August 23 date pop up?
I think I did actually say to the wife, do I have to go?
Since then he's been plotting how to slow the wedding down so he can get the episode in through ITV.
I've gone through so many options to get this. So, I mean, worthy of the master himself.
I just imagine these madcap hijinks with Marcus in the background, like a wheelbarrow full of like cockroaches or something like that to put in the hotel. Well, I guess we have to postpone it 2 weeks. I don't know.
Four more hours, guys. Four more hours.
Well, I'm actually gone for 10 days, so I'm missing the first two episodes.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, it's at least it'll be warm. But I guess if there's one thing you could miss, Doctor Who for, it would be going to a wedding in a nice exotic location like Honduras. So,
No.
No excuses, Demos.
Mental.
Well, we have a date. You guys watch the trailer, I'm assuming, right? The teaser.
They're getting shorter all the time.
Yeah. This is usually leading up to the first full trailer, which will probably fall the last week of July, first week of August. That's usually when they drop those, a couple 2 to 3 weeks beforehand. So it's We know it's going to be Peter and Clara, or I should say the Doctor and Clara. The 12th Doctor, the 14th Doctor, number-wise, it doesn't really make a difference anymore, does it?
Yeah, it is kind of... it has been a little bit murky. As much as I love that storyline, and sure. the waters have been muddied.
They have been kind of reset, though, so... we've spoken on many occasions about the new Doctor. I think it was around this time last year that we found out, A, that Matt Smith was leaving, and B, that Peter was taking over, so... it's been kind of a whirlwind last year. I mean, the 50th anniversary stuff was amazing. We covered a lot of that, obviously. And since then, there's been just, you thought it was going to be a slow trickle of Doctor Who news, and it has been slow-ish, but there have been some great announcements, and we're going to get to some of those right now. The biggest announcement was that we're going to see the introduction of a new recurring character, Danny Pink, played by Samuel Anderson. So apparently he and his younger sister character on the show are going to be recurring. He's going to be a teacher at Coal Hill, where Clara also teaches. That was kind of revealed in the Day of the Doctor last season. And we really don't know what his character is going to be. Is he going to be a love interest for her? Is this the new Rory, or is he? I mean, some of the speculation was that he could potentially be the Master. So I'm curious, how do you guys feel about actually having a new recurring character on the show, and who it could be?
I hope it's a love interest. I hope it's somebody with close, or that winds up getting close to Clara, because she is in desperate need of some character evolution. And a reason to care.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, she was supposed to be this really kind of special character that tied the Doctor's many lives together, and that kind of fizzled out. You know, it was a neat idea, but it never really came to fruition when we wanted it to.
I think we've gone on the record before on the show, and forgive me if I'm wrong, because it's been so very long since we've done one. thanks for that BBC scheduling.
Yeah.
I feel like we generally like her, right? Like, we like that mm-hmm. character.
It's untapped potential.
Has come through, mm-hmm. and it's done, she's done some good stuff. This casting, as soon as, I think, Dali, you sent me the picture, didn't mm-hmm. you?
Yeah.
The picture, and it's like, really, we go from a skinny boy in suit who's the for the last two doctors to an older doctor, and all of a sudden we've got to go now and put the good looking hunky teacher coming in as a love interest. This is Doctor Who. It's not Days of Our Lives. as soon as I saw the guy, it smacks of pandering. At least Rory, Rory was a goofy looking chap, and he grew into the character, so I suppose we'll have to cut this guy some slack, but I don't need to see good looking guys. And if it's to capture the teen girl audience, well, most of the teen girls who are tuning in are tuning in because they like Doctor Who, not because it's necessarily, oh, he's so dreamy. And there's just this shitty-ass pandering that the BBC does that just drives me nuts. I mean, it's bad enough when they retcon history and put, indigenous peoples into areas that, time zones that they never even would have, been in a certain place. And now they're just going bananas with this again. And look, I hope that, if he's there just for eye candy, I hope a Cyberman rips his head off in the first episode.
It's just a recurring head that we see.
Yeah.
Hey, that worked at Christmas.
At Christmas. No, that's a character we should get back. Handles. Is it Handles? Handles is fantastic.
Perhaps that's the thing. Perhaps he gets, he is Handles. Perhaps he gets turned into a Cyberman, and that's how Handles comes into being.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Everything goes full circle.
Sorry, go ahead, Stephen.
I was just going to say, we talk about this, idea of, this sort of, I guess, pandering idea and stuff like that. But we've had And I totally agree with Marcus on like the idea of like if that is what they're trying to do with the character, like that's not what, you know, that's not what the audience is coming to Doctor Who for. They're not like they're not stupid. They're not like sitting here and saying like I need to have a guy who looks good to enjoy the show. Like they're watching it because it's good fiction. But I was just gonna say, what if you just turn like one way that they could maybe like just avoid that and avoid the sort of Clara. You know, dreamy boy drama is just like, what if he was just gay?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
like I mean, it's something that they like has been talked about a lot on in regards to Doctor Who and stuff like that about like diversity and stuff like that. And everybody wants the Doctor to be that character. Well, instead of doing that, why not just explore different avenues and different characters in the slot that is the audience proxy? You know, the in the cipher that is the companion. So like, instead
he's the new Captain Jack, is what you're saying.
Yeah, basically. Role, yeah. I mean, they've had characters like that that have had, you know, non-straight sexualities before. Lots of characters like that, but never really a permanent, like, here is a guy or a girl that we're going to have for an entire season who's going to be on this show that is like this.
Yeah, Captain Jack is the closest, and of course we've got the Vastra.
Yep.
Vastra and Jenny as well.
Yeah,
I mean, it would. I mean, honestly, Dali, you scared the crap out of me when you suggested could this guy be the master?
Yeah, I mean,
dude, if that happens, I have to go back to Cardiff and burn it to the ground.
that would be a Moffat thing to do, right? That'd be a Moffat thing to do, where you have the kind of the older doctor or the older in persona doctor, and you have you know, the wily guy, and then you have the younger, dashing, debonair, good looking kid who's actually the evil one, right? You know, we've seen them on parody in certain points, like Tennant and the, you know, and his version of the Master were around the same age range, and so they were kind of on equal ground, but. You could kind of see that happening as if this character.
No. We all know that Stephen Moffat listens to this podcast every time it goes up. Do not give him ideas, dude. You know, in fact, you've been...
I heard that.
You just edited out that part of the show right now.
Yeah, that was the cut.
That was a typical Moffat timey-wimey erase the past type of cut. It's, you know, we're going to have to wait and find out, obviously. We don't know. He's supposed to appear somewhere around the second, third episode, I think. I'm not 100% sure. So we'll, you know, we'll just kind of keep an eye on that. They are saying there's going to be 12 episodes this upcoming season. They're going to go back to back to back. So there's not going to be any cuts or mid-season breaks, and then they are still going to have a Christmas episode, so we'll get kind of a full 13 episode a series, which is pretty cool. I'm actually really excited about going the full 13 without too many breaks. I mean, the last 2-3 seasons we've had that terrible mid-season break, which slowed things up a lot. But I think
even have that for the longest time.
Yeah, like, that's true.
For the longest time, it was like, here's an episode now. Wait a month or two, and here's like another thing that we'll call an episode, and then wait another month or two, and here's the Christmas special.
Do you think this has anything to do with how you know, American broadcasting has kind of their biggest hit shows from the fall onward? Do you think BBC and BBC America are trying to do the same thing, because this is like the biggest prime time is fall for television series?
I don't think it's necessarily. I mean, yes, the American market is huge, and you know, it's great they finally have simulcast. Mm-hmm. I think, I actually think that this is they're giving Capaldi a year because he is older, and this, you know, he's the oldest doctor of this new reboot, and it's going to be interesting to see how people take to him. I mean, you know, we were obviously surprised that he was an older actor, and I think, you know, pretty much all delighted because he is a fantastic actor. But, you know, again, touching back on the pandering thing earlier, what happens if the viewing numbers start to dip a little because he's not a skinny boy in a suit with fantastic hair? We get to the Christmas special, and guess what? Oh, it was all planned all along that Capaldi was a one-season wonder. You know, and they've got that backup, you know, to switch it out, because this is obviously BBC's biggest worldwide drama. And I think that's their second biggest brand after Top Gear. Mm-hmm. So it's something they have to be very protective of. And I think the other thing that's, you know, exciting, but also something that's probably got the BBC worried, is this whole, you know, theory that this season of Doctor Who is going back to that, you know, gothic version of the mid 70s and Tom Baker, and, you know, the costumes we've seen come out, and, you know, some of the stuff, you know, it's a darker Doctor, which is fantastic for us people, you know, with, you know, an appreciation for what the history was, but that's going to be totally alien to a bunch of people, you know, particularly, you know, the ones who've only watched, you know, the reboot from 2005 on. And, you know, in America, a lot of people only started watching when David Tennant came on or Matt Smith.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the darkest stuff in the reboot was Christopher Eccleston. And, like, yeah, like you said, for a lot of people, that just wasn't there. Like, David Tennant was a lot of people's first Doctor.
Yeah, I mean, Tennant's the only dark one. The only time he touched on anything was Waters of Mars, which was, in a way, you know, one of the top three or four episodes in Tennant's arc. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we discussed this before, and I know I've said it before, that I would love to have seen another special between the time, you know, the Waters of Mars and the time of the Doctor, or the, you know, which the Doctor, you know, David Tennant one departing, where, you know, we see this Doctor who is dark and wants to push stuff. And I certainly would have preferred that over the one with the double-decker bus in the desert.
Oh, yeah, the Easter one.
Oh, yeah.
That was something.
That was horrible.
That was technical. Actually,
Sean, what do you think about all this?
About which part?
basically, like, the entire thing. Like, I mean, like, is there anything that you wanted to add or anything like that? You've just been a little quiet.
It's riveting commentary going on. No, not too much. I'm in agreement that I think the series going in one fell swoop from August to November, whatever it is great. I think it's good for everybody. It's way better than we had last year. I think we ended in, what, April or May, and then we had to wait for the 50th?
It was disgusting. Yeah.
And then it was 50th to holiday, and then holiday to this August. So, you know, I think they do what they do well in terms of scheduling in their shows. And you see it now too with BBC America and stuff like Orphan Black. And I know Marcus has talked about it before, the contained seasons where you get 10 or 12 episodes instead of 24. And my only concern is, and I'm sure I sound like a broken record, is it's not the new Doctor. I'm super excited about him. It's not Clara or potential, you know, Huggy Pants, McHandsome Face.
I know where this is going.
It's the man in charge of the ship.
Yep.
You know, you can cut it down to 10 episodes and give him the best actor in the world, but if he's not going to start putting out good content again, like, you know, it. I'm still very cautious about it. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm still very, you know, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, because when I saw that teaser come on during Orphan Black or whatever it was, you know, I kind of freaked out and I got all goosebumpy and I was like, oh my God, Doctor Who, finally, yay. And I was like, wait, that's it? Damn it. But I'm so excited, and I just don't want Moffat to – I don't want him to hurt me again, guys.
Well, I mean, you do raise an interesting point. And look, I've been Moffat's biggest fan for, such a long time. I think that this might actually – you know, I'm going to come out with some optimism here.
Good.
Because he is not writing for the, again, skinny boys in suits or the chinny boy in a suit or whatever. He's now writing for a different breed of actor. And it's no disrespect to David Tennant and Matt Smith, who are absolutely phenomenal. But if he can, you know, I'd like to see what he can do with this darker Doctor. Mm-hmm. If he can deliver that, it might redeem himself. Because, look, I mean, we know he has these great episodes in him. The 50th anniversary was one of the best. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was then followed by The Damp Squib. But if he can, you know, if he can nail it, and not only that, if he can make sure that the writing is handled by other people as well. I mean, I'm hoping Mark Gatiss is going to come in, because, you know, what he's done with Sherlock has been great.
Yeah. And I just watched that like a couple weeks ago, and that was pretty phenomenal.
Do you remember, though, when we were really excited that Moffat was taking control of the show? I look back on those days, and I miss them. I miss them so much.
Dude, he'd written some of the best episodes of the Tennant and Eccleston, the Tennant era in particular. But we realized that what, you know, because you look at those episodes, look at the, you know, Silence in the Library.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's dark. Mm-hmm. That's a two-part of this dark. Look at the first weeping angels, or the first couple of weeping angels. They were dark. And the problem is, he is, you know, he suffers from what I like to call Will Ferrell syndrome, where he's great in small segments, but if you give him the responsibility of carrying a whole season, he just crashes and burns. So, you know, maybe this, he can go back to doing the dark stuff and allow somebody else to perhaps do some of the episodes with a little bit of levity, and we will get that content. Because, I mean, Weeping Angel is still one of the best bad guys in Doctor Who. Also, the Vashti Narada.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he has it in him.
Yeah. By the way, did anybody get to see Mark Gatiss in Game of Thrones this season?
I watched it on DVD.
It was fantastic, and he played Tycho Nestaris, I think, over in at Bravos. But I'm excited to see what's going to transpire. I do think that this is going to be a little bit of a darker season, and I'm happy going that route. I think because I think that's when Doctor Who is at its best, right? And so I'm hoping that Moffat has kind of redeemed himself a little bit with some of the things that happened around the 50th, and BBC have kind of given him a little bit more longer of a leash to do certain things. Because, like you said, Marcus, some of the stuff that he and his team have done with David's era were really good, and so.
Yep.
I'm going to stay positive this season. I am
cautious optimism.
Yeah, to say that I'm not cautious. That's a great lead. And to say that I'm not cautious, it would be lying to myself, because I still am really curious as to how this is going to go. When Matt Smith joined, I mean, it was a hard reset to the universe. Right, you had a whole new companions, new Doctor. You know, you had. You had some things carry over, River and so forth, but it looks like none of that's going to take on this time. It really does seem like the only thing carrying over right now might be Clara.
And even she, like, I think that kind of sets the tone for it in the teaser, which we've talked about, is she says, like, I don't even know who the Doctor is anymore. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think Clara is meant to be the connective tissue for the people who've been watching it since 2005 or, you know, since the beginning, like Marcus. And then, like, and kind of act as the cipher to that part of the audience, whereas this new Doctor is probably, like, as he's asking, like, am I a good man kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this is supposed to be, yeah, like you said, another Matt Smith, like, jumping on point. It's not a reset of the universe, but it is a place where, like, they're acknowledging, like, okay, this has been the end of an era. We need to start over again, which is probably not a terrible idea considering you're jumping, you know, principal actors, and a lot of shows. A show doesn't go for 50 plus years without being able to, like, refresh itself once in a while.
Right. And this is a new, a new cast in a lot of ways. I mean, they did announce a bunch of the new cast members. Obviously, you know, we mentioned the Samuel Anderson, but we also have Michelle Gomez. I was going to say Michelle Rodriguez. Thank goodness it's not Michelle Rodriguez.
No.
Michelle Gomez, who's going to be a new character. I don't want to say recurring, but we'll have kind of a major role in the show. So we have a lot of big cat. I think Foxes, who's a British singer, is also going to be a character on the show. So there are going to be a lot of interesting new characters coming to the fold. How can I phrase this? I'm hopeful that they can bring back some of the previous Doctors. We found out at the very end of last season, spoiler for anyone who didn't see the Day of the Doctor, or Time of the Doctor, whatever it was, that the Doctor can change his face to, you know, down the line, he'll be able to change it again to whatever he sees fit, which will very well be older, you know, previous faces, previous Doctors. So I'm curious if that could be a potential for this season or for the Christmas episode. Will we see one of the previous Doctors make an appearance? Eccleston, you could get rid of Eccleston from almost wipe him off the Doctor Who map. But could we see a Tennant? Could we see a Matt Smith this year? Both of them are extremely tied to the show in many ways.
I don't think we'll see them. close. I mean, Tennant's obviously now over here doing the Broadchurch American mm-hmm. version.
Yep. Yep.
Which is that trailering on Fox. What do you Americans think of his accent, by the way?
It's so bizarre. Now we know how you feel when you must hear Americans try British accents.
Okay.
I honestly haven't actually heard his American accent yet. I had not seen that there was any footage of that out yet.
There's a trailer and it's been renamed as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Broadchurch is a hell of English name to try to bring over to America.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've got it. I mean, it looks like a shot-for-shot remake, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I think, honestly, I'd like to see McGann back.
Mm, yes.
I would, because, I mean,
his,
you know, his little cameo before the 50th anniversary episode was, it just gave me that taste of what he could do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we know, you know, it would be, they've obviously messed with canon enough now that we see, you know, or I saw Tom Baker regenerate
mm-hmm.
30 plus years ago. Jesus, 30 plus years ago, I watched him regenerate. he retired back to you know, to Earth to be a curator of the museum.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, where, you know, the fact that this is now open, that these previous doctors are, they regenerate, but it's almost like that sliding doors effect.
Mm-hmm.
One version goes off in one direction, one version doesn't regenerate and just goes off and gets old.
Mm.
That to me opens up so many different things that we could see one of the Davidsons, or like I said, I mean, I'd like to see more of a War Doctor.
Mm,
I really would. I mean, you know, yeah, that would be interesting. But I think McGann would be one to have mm-hmm. back mm-hmm. because he's got, you know, he's got the chops and that spark. That he would be a great counterpoint, I think, to Capaldi.
Mm, that I'd almost love to see a recurring Two Doctors mini series or mini-sodes, or, you know, a few episodes, and maybe not this year, obviously, because they're essentially done filming or near it. But down the line could be great.
You want to show me a Doctor Who spinoff? Show me a Doctor Who spinoff of like. God, I don't know how well this translates to certain people like on this show or even listening right now, but like a Superior Spider-Man team up, or like Avenging Spider-Man, where it's like you have the Spider-Man book, you have the Amazing Spider-Man going on in one direction, and, you know, that's telling its story. It's about Peter Parker or whatever's mm-hmm. going on. And then you have Avenging Spider-Man, which then became Superior Spider-Man team up, which is, I think, just gone now. And it was like, now here's a completely different story about Spider-Man, and then this episode he's teaming up with Punisher, or this issue he's teaming up with Doctor Strange or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, do what I mean, I would not mind seeing like it, maybe just like maybe not an entire own spin-off series, but like a mini so mm-hmm. thing, like you said, like they've done before. Like, do 10 of those every season of just like, here's the Doctor teaming up with Doctor number 5, number 4, number 3, you know, whatever. Like, I would totally be down for that.
I wouldn't want to waste that, though. I wouldn't want to waste it on a minisode.
Hmm.
I'd rather, you know, it could be something that they bring in every other Christmas special. I mean, wouldn't it be great if this, you know, the Christmas special this year was Paul McGann coming back?
Mm.
So we're going to wheel out the Daleks, we're going to bring out a Doctor this year, and then next year, you know, the Rani is back or something like that, where he, you know, more of the Time Lordy stuff. I loved the McGann minisode, but I felt it could have been, you know, it should have been more. He deserved more.
Yeah.
So this is especially. That was the first major, you know, the first Doctor team up in about 20, 30 years, right? When they had more than one Doctor on a show, an episode.
Yeah, the last episode, the last one was, I think, the Five Doctors.
Yeah, the Five Doctors. Yep.
And
they did a Three Doctors after that, I think.
Okay. Oh, there was a second like a follow up Three Doctors.
I'm trying to remember. I mean, I know there's been team-ups in the audio.
But, you know, think of it this way, though. This is something that is brand new to a new audience, you know, especially the American audience getting into Doctor Who. All of a sudden, they get to see two of their favorite Doctors together, as well as a third Doctor, as well as, you know, another new Doctor upcoming. They've essentially had four Doctors all at once in the span of about a month, right? So I think they're much more open to seeing something like that take place.
Another thing it comes into the equation. I mean, we had the Adventures in Space and Time docudrama that was the William Hartnell story.
I loved it.
The actor who played him,
mm-hmm.
he could come in as the Hartnell Doctor.
Exactly.
You've opened that door, like, to an extent. Like, I mean, it's cracked open anyway, of like other actors playing these, you know, these doctors that we don't have anymore.
Yeah, and I think we should all just turn around and basically make sure that Eccleston is forgotten. Although I think, honestly, anybody who watched that new series he's in on HBO, The Leftovers,
will realize that
he probably should be hammering on BBC's door to say, let me do something on Doctor Who again, because it was absolute bollocks.
Haven't watched it yet. I'm going to just to see him in there. David Bradley was the actor that played Hartnell. David Bradley, he did a fantastic, wonderful job.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff happening there. I guess the finale is being filmed right now. For those who don't want to hear spoilers, shut off for about 35 seconds to a minute. But that's the one that Michelle Gomez is going to be a part of. The Cybermen have returned with kind of a newer design, a more updated design. There's going to be a lot of interesting things happening this season. I don't know if Clara's in this finale or not. I didn't see any mention of her. I'm looking at a block TV right now. Yeah,
but finale.
They won't Amy and Rory us.
They won't even worry us. But it will feature the return of Osgood, who's and Kate Stewart. So we have a lot of callbacks to, you know, obviously the 50th anniversary specials and some of the characters that we've kind of really enjoyed seeing over the last few months.
Yeah, so, it'll actually be interesting because we'll have, we're coming up on, you know, this will be the end of Clara's second or second and a half season. And it generally means, new doctor, companion overlaps, although that did change with Matt Smith. But, might we see the end of Clara this year?
Mm-hmm.
If we don't see, if Capaldi carries on, will there be somebody else to come through? Because that's the connective tissue, isn't it? That's the cipher.
Sure.
As somebody just mentioned several times. Is that your word of the day? Have you got word of the day toilet paper or something?
the finale is also just a... Sorry, to cut you off, Sean.
Just 1 second. Sorry, Sean was saying something.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sean. No, it's okay.
Go ahead,
to savor every moment.
Okay. No, I was just going to say, this is what's so exciting about this particular, not revamp, but this new season, right? Like, mm-hmm. we can speculate about where they can, like, the wall is completely blank, mm-hmm. with the exception of Clara, but whatever. They've done so little with her, she's basically a blank slate too now. They can do anything. Like, they can go in a completely new direction and then just bring back a couple things from the past. They can go, and that's what's so cool about being able to speculate right now, is because we can come up with all these different ideas because we don't know. Like, we don't know what the overarching themes or plots are going to be. We don't know if any of the marketing shtick now is going to be for the whole season or just the first episode. We don't know what any of the big bad's going to be. Like, it's really, really refreshing.
It is.
Like, it's really, really cool.
You know, I'm really excited. I think the teaser trailer alone is titled, Am I a Good Man? So that's the first time we've kind of seen that from the Doctor. He's, am I a good man? Am I a bad man? You know, he's trying to figure himself out. It really could be a cool, you know, a cool season just because of all these unknowns. Just as a quick note, here are some of the writers that are going to be taking the helm this year. Stephen Moffat, of course. He's got the finale, two-parter finale. We've been asking for two-parters for a while now or longer story arcs. We're finally getting one. Phil Ford, who wrote The Waters of Mars. So that one, that's going to be fantastic. Steve Thompson, he was last time Journey to the Center of the TARDIS. Mark Gatiss is back. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Gareth Roberts, Peter Harness, who's brand new to Doctor Who. Jamie Matheson, who's also a new writer, and then potentially Neil Cross, who did Hyde and The Rings of Akkaten. So we have some pretty interesting... No Neil Gaiman this year, from what I'm seeing, but...
That's a huge bummer.
Yeah, he's been kind of a mainstay over for a couple of years now, but it's been hinted that Alex Kingston could return, but nothing official has come out of there. Yeah, I know. So who knows? I mean, the Clockwork Droids are going to be back. So are the Daleks.
I'm okay with that.
I'm just kind of going through the list here. You know,
That Gaiman was going to make a long shot because of the schedule and turnaround time. But if he didn't do it this year, he would definitely be doing it in 2015.
Yeah. So
I feel like sometime in the next year or two, we'll hopefully get all the Gaiman story.
The Clockwork robots. That's the one from the Madame Pompadour one, yeah?
Yes, yep.
Who was
the girl in the fireplace? I think it was Girl in the Fireplace, right?
Yeah, she was in Transformers, Extinction of Brain Cells.
Yeah, Extinction of Brain Cells, yeah. Here's a rundown. So the first episode, the premiere, is named Deep Breath. That's written by Moffitt, directed by Ben Wheatley. Episode 2 is Phil Ford. Episode 3 is Mark Gatiss. It's great that we're going to get this episode so early. We've talked in the past. We really hope that he becomes the next showrunner of the show, of the series. Then you got episode 4 is Moffitt. Looks like Moffitt's going to have his hand in a lot of these things. And you have Thompson, Roberts, Harness, Matheson, da-da-da-da-da, that goes on and on. So,
a very quick thing to say, I'm really kind of bummed that they used Gaddis as a character, as the Lazarus character early on, because, like, he would make such a good master. I would...
Hang on. Who was in the fires of Pompeii?
That's true. That's a good point.
I do hope that they circle back to that at some point, or at least make some type of remark about that.
One of the rumors is they're going to address that there's going to be some sort of explanation for how the multiple faces kind of thing works out. So
that'd be cool. Gwen, it was her great 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 grand aunt or something like that.
Well, I mean, look at the things that hopefully they can explain this season. And let me just say, I hope that if Moffat has a season arc, he's figured out the ending before they film it.
Yeah.
So we don't have. Oh, I guess what? There was a button here all along that I could press and then
reset.
Things I want to see tackled. The Time Lords.
Yes.
Yep.
I mean, that to me is, it's nice to see the stuff on Earth and, where they're filming the finale and, blah, 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 blah. Why Cardiff gets, attacked by aliens is beyond me. It's a bit of a shithole. I say that because I'm a Swansea boy. I'm hoping that not every episode is on Earth. I hope we are moving away from the kitchen sink. I mean, it didn't help that the last season, The Rings of Akkaten, was probably one of the lamest episodes in a while. Let's hope that they can go off somewhere that doesn't look like, Swansea Market that's been decked out for the night. And let's have some intrigue. I mean, if you're going to make something cool, make the Time Lords and Gallifrey. Did they make a sacrifice? Are they gone forever? When this thing came through, that revitalized the Doctor at the end of the last Christmas special, did some leftover wander in the direction of the Master? Let's get a good kick-ass Master. Let's get somebody with some gravitas.
Yeah.
I mean, John Sim was a good actor, but he was just too cuckoo bananas. I mean, we can get rid of the drums thing. Because that was just daft as a brush. Let's get some Titanic psychological battles between the Master and the Doctor. Not, oh, look, I'm the Master. I've torn myself apart. My body is rending itself, yet I can now fly and I have power.
I've got Iron Man repulsor hands.
Let's not talk about the lightning throwing storm. Master.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Robert Downey Jr. is the Master because he's Tony Stark.
One thing but we do not...
We should talk about that a little more. Sorry, Doug. We should talk about that because that's a recurring rumor, is that this is, at some point, this is the season where the Master gets recast and comes back. So Let's touch on that a little bit and talk about how we would do that. So, Marcus, would you go older or younger? And what kind of direction would you go with the character and the actor?
I wouldn't go more than 10 years younger. I would, you know, I'd want the character to have that little bit of gravitas. Because, I mean, you know, what they did last time, they went from one extreme to another. But it matched with the Doctor. I would like to see him, yeah, in his 40s. Somebody, again, you know, somebody not good looking or, you know, monumentally gorgeous or anything like that. Somebody who's just got the stones. I mean, ideally, I mean, I could see somebody like Timothy Dalton, if he hadn't been already used, he would be a great master. Or, you know, somebody along those lines, somebody, you know, one actor who comes to mind a lot is somebody who's been in, he was in The World's End, actor named Paddy Considine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's been in a couple of the, you know, the Frost and Peg movies. And, yeah, you know, he's a great actor.
Is that the guy who plays Shaun of the Dead's, Shaun's stepfather in Shaun of the Dead? Is that the guy?
No, it's Bill Nye.
It's Bill Nye. Oh, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, and I think Bill Nye's too old, and I think, you know, he's been attached to so many different sci-fi, you know, projects and stuff like that. But no,
recognizable.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, Paddy Considine is probably in his 40s. If you've watched The World's End, he was Gary the Builder. The Builder. He was the friend who was the Builder who, spoiler alert, ended up with a girl at the end. So, yeah, he's a great actor who I think could carry it off. And, you know, like I've said, every season, every time we've had this conversation, no, don't just bring back the Master. Bring back the Rani.
Yeah.
Let's have some of that evil lady boom, you know, gonna kill you because I'm the badass time lady.
Yeah, the one thing that I think that the Rani brings, like, you know, for as little she existed back in the old stuff, and she's like a different kind of threat. Like, she's more like a Dr. Mengele type character, almost like this sort of like sociopathic sort of character that just wants to like take you apart and figure out what makes you tick because it's interesting, not because she has like some kind of weird Joker Batman crush like the Master does. She's the John Simber room.
Yeah, she looks at humans as something to be dissected. And obviously, I think it would be an added poignance, especially as Kate O'Mara, who was the Rani. And I think, you know, it would be refreshing to see that come back. And that's one of the things, I mean, if you look at, you know, that's one of the things, and you know me, I'm not the biggest fan of political correctness in Doctor Who, but I will say that when it comes to the female bad guys, Doctor Who has been lacking somewhat. It really has. Go back to the, you know, the Cyberman episode in, you know, The Other Doctor or whatever it was, the Christmas special, the Tennant, you know, the governess, Miss Hartigan, she didn't really get a chance to be fleshed out, and she just came across as a bit of a bitch.
Women are always women villains on Doctor Who, they're always like second in command at the end. Like, they're always like it turns out they were being controlled by somebody else, or they were actually just, you know, this guy, like, literally, like, with the Great Intelligence, that lady in the Spoonheads episode, she was literally second in command being controlled by someone else.
And that's why I actually wouldn't mind seeing a female master this season. I think that's
you don't need a female master because you've got the Rani.
You've got the Rani, right.
Different, who would be a totally different proposition to anything the Doctor has faced since 2005 on. And again, I mean, what happens if you have the two of them? You have the two of them side by side, and that bickering and that clash of egos, where one, you know, as you say, has the man crush on the Doctor, and the other one doesn't want to see the world burn, but wants to dissect it to see what's, you know, what makes it tick, and has this almost, you know, disconnected view of the world, of the universe in general. One wants to dominate, one wants to dissect, and I think that clash back and forth could be brilliant.
I think this is a perfect time. There's no way the Doctor could have Clara as a love interest. Age the age difference for television wouldn't quite work out that way.
No,
but
like Erica, Dally, like remember, Transformers: Age of Extinction very clearly this, explained for us
that there's okay. a Romeo and Juliet clause in Doctor Who. But this could be a way for Peter Capaldi's character to have maybe not necessarily a love interest, but if they do bring back Ronnie, then that could be some way to affect. That could be the yin to Capaldi's yang. And I'd love to see that take place where that becomes, it's a fresh doctor. That's the new bad guy that is kind of, becomes the thorn in the doctor's side. It's a female that the doctor could even potentially have, a slight romantic interest in.
No, they don't need the, yeah. That's, look, I mean, he's had a couple of romances. He had River.
Yeah.
He had Rose Tyler. I think it's about time we put put it to one side for a while. And I think it doesn't need to have any romantic. I mean, perhaps there could be sexual tension.
I would say sexual tension more than romance.
Romantic in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
It could be best of enemies.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yes. Yep.
I know you look. I mean, I said about the Master and the Rani teaming up, but the enemy of the enemy is my friend. Mm-hmm. So, what happens if the Doctor has the Rani on board for 3 or 4 episodes
mm-hmm.
to battle the Master or something like that? And given this whole thing about previous faces, what happens if it is somebody from the Doctor's past that we haven't mm-hmm. seen before in a long time? So, mm-hmm.
Totally.
That said, I could be making this up, but isn't Moffat kind of against bringing her back? Like, isn't that something we're probably not going to see while he's at the helm?
What?
Moffat says all kinds of stupid stuff.
Hmm.
Hold on, you guys keep talking.
Now that Sean brings it up, something like that kind of, maybe it was Moffat, like, I almost want to say it was like Davies, because there was the running joke about the hand of the Ranai after the end of season 3 for the longest time too, where mm-hmm. like the hand that picks up the Master's ring, people
no,
the you, hand of the Ranai.
You're not long. You're not wrong. He says, he said in a couple of articles in 2012 that he'll never bring back. And Stephen, I love you, mate. It's not Ranai. It's Ronnie.
Ronnie.
Oh, whatever. I say Hearthstone instead of Hearthstone. Everybody hates
how
I pronounce
everything. No.
Go back and watch Time of the Rani. See how it's pronounced.
No, I'm not saying I'm correct or like that there's two pronunciations. What I'm saying is that like I'm never going to be able to pronounce anything correctly. I'm from the Midwest. Like it's just I'm a lost cause. That's what I'm getting at.
Well, this is why I'm trying to help you. It's outreach.
I see the article you just posted up here, Sean. With
Grand Moff could change his mind. He could lie. He could be talked into things. But as it stands, the last time I heard or read about him talking about it, he had said that it was never going to happen. So
did he say why?
No one knows who she is, and yada 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 nonsense.
Whatever. Nobody knew. Like nobody in America knew what Doctor Who was until 2005. Come on.
Yeah, and that's. I mean, that's showing incredible disrespect on Moffat's part. To be honest with you, and look, maybe it is his grand plan that he's bait and switching, which would be fantastic. But honestly, if he is still so dead set against bringing this character back and tying it into the Master and tying it into the Time Lords, then maybe it's about time that Moffat pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And we're full circle.
Back to you, Sean. What would you want to see out of the Master?
Oh, well, clearly a 21-year-old woman. Come on.
No, I think I'm in agreement. I would like somebody who's experienced and honestly, if they went younger and they kind of cast this kind of young charismatic foil to the Doctor, who also kind of mocks him for being old, I'd probably be okay with that. But also if they went older and they kind of, like Marcus was saying, had a battle of wits more than anything else, and they got rid of more like the overly kind of campy plots and saving the world via satellite, heart rays and shit, and more into just like hardcore, like brilliant alien minds going at each other. I think that would be great too. I don't know who I would cast for it, off the top of my head, but you know, that's something I leave to the more experienced Marcus anyway, because he's usually spot on with his casting wish list.
No, I mean, look, I honestly, you know, I don't know who they would cast. I would just, I mean, for me, the worry would be you have a younger master, then all of a sudden, you know, it brings a little bit of the, you know, oh, I'm younger, I can kick your ass, you know, level of just go, you know, oh, we're going to cast Mark Wahlberg. And he's going to be the master. And he's going to punch Doctor Who out, and that's it. It's all over. And I think, you know, when you have the more physical equals generation, it throws it. You know, it does get rid of that whole idea of one-on-one violence, getting your hands dirty. It is more tactical. It is more, you know, brain against brain, which is what, you know, we want Doctor Who to be all about.
Do we trust the mirror, or is that like one of those raggy kind of schlotzy?
Mirror's a total rag.
All right, never mind.
Even I know that, but
I
forget which one is good and bad. I don't know.
There's two that you can't. Well, it's actually three you can't trust. One of them is the sun, which is the right wing version. The mirror is the left wing version, and then you've got the Sunday Mail, which is the toilet paper version.
final couple things about the upcoming season that I've been looking at. Over the last few weeks, we are going to get Team Vostra back. Whatever you want to call them, the Scooby team, Team Vostra. Mm-hmm. The characters will return for at least one episode. We know they're going to be there, so I'm just excited to see those three back together. They are, and Marcus, we said pre-show that they would be a fantastic spin-off, the new Torchwood.
They'd be a great, you know, mature spin-off. I mean, not Sarah Jane Adventures, but more Torchwood, especially if you stick them back in that Elizabethan time frame, really start, like, you know, investigating some of the gorier stuff. Imagine, you know, Ripper Street, but enjoyable.
Yes.
Oh, God,
mm-hmm. I agree.
Like, that's a great comparison. I didn't even think about that. But, yeah, I mean, like, that's where the beginning of, like, the, what do you call it, the... But not quite the beginning, because I guess Edgar Allan Poe invented the detective genre, but like, you know, Sherlock Holmes and stuff like that, like for a lot of people is kind of like where you bring that stuff around. And like to have, you know, Sherlock going on meanwhile with, you know, Stephen Moffat doing that, where he's like got this like, oh, hey, we've got this like hip, young, crazy version of Sherlock that takes place with iPhones and, you know, machine guns. And then you take the exact inverse of that and take the original Elizabethan era type setting and everything like that, and then put it with these crazy aliens with laser guns and everything like that. I think that would be super interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, there's definitely a market for it. I don't know if anybody's been watching Penny Dreadful on Showtime, but that was a British co-production. And that's actually been really enjoyable. And honestly, I mean, I would like to think that instead of producing, and this is, you know, this is something BBC America could, if they had any sense, could actually do, because if you look at some of the crap that they put out recently, you know, the exception of Orphan Black, you look at the crap such as Ripper Street, Copper, and that new almost royal bullshit, which is disgusting. I mean, you know, they could actually have put that budget and done a couple of, you know, one-off, you know, 90-minute specials around Team Vostra.
Yeah, yeah, very true.
Yeah, like, good Lord, like, please put the budget from Copper into anything else except for Copper. Oh, my God.
Well, Copper, didn't Copper and Ripper Street get canceled?
I hope so.
I know Copper did. I don't know about Ripper Street, but I can definitely find out. Well, one way that the Doctor Who experience will continue outside of the TV show is there is going to be a Doctor Who World Tour taking place. They don't have an actual date set up yet, but it looks like maybe at some point this year. But it's going to start off in Cardiff. It'll head over to London, then Seoul, South Korea, Sydney, Australia, New York, Mexico City and Rio de Janeiro.
I'm not kidding when they say world tour.
Yeah,
but it's totally disingenuous because, I mean, it's the friggin' promotional tour.
Right.
It's not like, oh, the Doctor, you know, they're going to come and they're going to meet and greet all the fans left, right, and center. I mean, they're skipping Comic-Con this year, apparently.
Yes, bizarre.
But,
bizarrely, yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, well, I'm going to promote my new movie and I'm going on a world tour at the same time.
Right.
Where
right.
I'm going just go from studio to studio. That's all they're going to do. We'll see them on Craig Ferguson and probably Conan O'Brien, and that's about it.
I really wish it was something more than that, but I think you're pretty
I don't
much
know, when Smith started, or maybe it was season six. Yeah, it was six when they did Day of the Moon. They did an event in New York where they screened both episodes. Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry. It was the 11th Hour. The 11th Hour, they brought Smith and what's her face? Who plays Amy?
Karen.
Karen Gillan.
Yes, and Moffitt came out with a producer, and they had, like, they filled up the theater at BBC America in New York City, and they had fans come in, and they screened the episode and then did a Q&A. And it was actually really cool. So if that's what they're doing again, then I can't speak highly of it enough, because it was a fantastic little event for fans and stuff. So
I'm still having nightmares after the whole, you know, BBC America build up to the announcement of the 50th of the new Doctor, rather. You know, where they announced.
Oh,
the
that was awesome!
That horrible 30-minute. You know,
the talk show.
It made this podcast look top quality.
Which this podcast is top quality, by the way.
So on the subject of Doctor Who experiences, the Doctor Who experience in Cardiff is actually shutting down.
What?
No, but it's shutting down for the best possible reason, because it's built around The Last Doctor. So we have Capaldi filming new stuff. They're going in and redoing the story, you know, and basically revamping the story section of the experience. So it will be a whole new experience tied into Capaldi's Doctor, starting, I think, in either the end of this year or the beginning of next.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
That's neat.
Yeah, as far as, like, reasons to do that go, that's a pretty good one.
Man, I'd love to get over there and do that experience sometime.
It's funny, because I'm contemplating heading over to London to watch my Detroit Lions play a football game over there, as part of some NFL thing. But so I was going to head over to the Doctor Who experience as well while I was spending a week out there. But looks like that's not going to happen now. Thanks for ruining it, Marcus.
I'm not sure the exact dates. I'd say check it out. All right. But yeah, it would be, if I win the lottery in the next 12 months, we'll go on a school trip. Okay?
Sounds good. We'll have our own Doctor Who world tour.
I think I still need to share with you all the pictures I took from when I went in February. I need to upload those.
Okay.
The
clean photos, please. Just the clean photos.
Oh, what? You don't want the ones of me sitting on the Dalek's face?
I don't doubt that actually happened. I don't doubt that. So, yeah, August 23rd, or the 23rd of August, August 23, Saturday evening here in the U.S., the new season of Doctor Who will air. We'll definitely gonna do a new episode between now and then. The holidays coming up here, 4th of July, Independence Day in the U.S., but we'll get at least one more episode out before then. I do want to touch briefly on my encounter with John Barrowman, who you might all recognize and remember as Captain Jack.
Never heard of him.
Of Doctor Who and Torchwood fame. He was Jack Harkness. He was here at Motor City Comic Con back at the end of May, and I'm just kind of finishing up tidying up my interview with him, which I'll upload in the next couple days here. But I had a chance to talk to him about kind of things he was doing and working on. And he, of course, we talked a lot about, you know, what he was doing with Arrow, which he's become a reoccurring role now on that show.
He's awesome on that show,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, yeah. But he's, you know, he's still super passionate about Doctor Who. So first and foremost, he is one of the most flamboyantly happy people you will ever see. He's completely... he spoke to a few of us on a stage, and he was running back and forth across the stage and talking to us, and he'd run into the stand, you know, on a stage. He'd run into the you know, into where we were all sitting and kind of grab us one by one and give us hugs and high fives and chat and so forth. Really cool guy, super nice individual. I don't think you can find a more down to earth actor. At least that I've met on the planet. I mean, just seemed, and he continually mentioned it. He was just so happy that fans continued to come see him at events, and he had a big panel that was going to happen later that day. So really excited, a really happy guy. But he had he definitely had things to say about Doctor Who and Torchwood. And I know a couple of you guys had a couple of questions for me to ask him. I don't know if it was Sean or Steven, but one of you asked me, you know, would he do Doctor Who if he was asked again? Well, he hasn't been asked.
What a no-brainer.
Yeah, he said he would love to do it.
He talks about it all the time.
All the time, but he hasn't been asked. However, through cooperation with, I believe, parts of the BBC or whoever, he does still do Torchwood audiobooks and Torchwood books that he's written with his sister. And so the Captain Jack is, and in fact, one just released a few weeks ago. Captain Jack, the character, is not gone. He's still out there, at least Torchwood book-wise. So that he still holds on to it. He still considers it one of the best times of his acting career.
One plight of mine that I would like to point out specifically right now is to just, I love audio dramas. I listen to as many as I possibly can, which are pretty much dead here in America.
Some might say our podcast is an audio drama.
Yeah, some misinformed people might say that. But man, I just need to point out that trying to get the audio dramas over here is expensive. The BBC audio productions, because I would love to just listen to hundreds of hours of those things.
Yeah.
But it is pricey.
It is very pricey, yeah, definitely. So he's he still considers himself tied to the show, and he was bummed they didn't get a chance to be included in the 50th anniversary stuff.
So was I.
Yeah, I know. I think all the fans were as well. But he hasn't been asked, and he hasn't really spoken to Moffat. I mean, Davies, was his guy. He was the one that really kind of took him under the wing. And by that, he the same respect, David Tennant was his doctor. I mean, he worked with Christopher as well. He didn't work with Matt Smith, but David Tennant was his doctor, and he said he and David have just a fantastic friendship, and they still, communicate and get together whenever David's in the States or he's out in the UK. He's still, he's still really popular in the UK from his stage and music career. So in the US, he's not known for performing, but in the rest of the world, he has a semi popular album out there of music. So if you can get a hold of it on iTunes, wherever you're located, I suggest taking a peek, because he's a really good singer, and he was kind of singing in front of us, a few songs and stuff. So he was, hitting some notes. He's really enjoying that aspect of his career. But he said, it was about the journey. It wasn't about where, how shows end or how shows start. He said when he joined Doctor Who, he knew it was going to be in and out, potentially doing Torchwood, because that was actually kind of spoken about early on in his tenure with Doctor Who, was they were looking to do a spinoff show. So it was really about kind of the whole experience rather than individual seasons or individual episodes. And I asked him specifically about Miracle Day. Marcus, you had me ask him about this, about the ending to Miracle Day. And he really wanted to focus on the storytelling of the entire season was important to Miracle Day. And I said that, critically, people were disappointed. I said I was kind of disappointed in the ending because it really went to the alien route again. And it had so much potential with this idea of people not dying. But he said that, he felt that the ending wrapped up the story. And that's, I guess, the best way that he was able to say it, because he really wanted to continue Torchwood. He still wants to continue Torchwood in some fashion or other. But I don't think he was too enthused at the way it ended either, but he did say that it was, you have to watch the entire season to get the gist of what the show was about, which is what an actor will typically tell you. It's not just the ending, it's the entire season, but, we really watched the entire season.
It sucked balls.
It sucked. Exactly.
As soon as they took it outside of the UK, it turned into a shitty 90s American cop drama. No offense to you, my American chums, but fuck's sake.
So he did bring up that there was a lot of things that they had to change because of their U.S. focus now, right? So the Stars is U.S.-based. They had a lot of input, a lot of creative input as to what was going to take place. And so they wanted the show Starz kind of had an idea of how they wanted the show to go. And then so the BBC and everybody else, the writers and the producers involved, had to kind of work through that. And that's why you didn't see very many scenes in the UK. They wanted to... The idea was that Torchwood is going to be an ongoing US series from here on out. Exactly. And so they signed that initial contract with Starz to say, hey, let's leave the opportunity, the possibilities open. So that's why they signed some bigger U.S. actors and actresses to be on the series, right? They had, what was it, Omar Epps? Was that the other actor? They had a lot of well-known actors on the show that they wanted to.
They had Bill Pullman, I think.
Bill Pullman. And so they, yeah, exactly. And so they brought these actors in thinking this is going to be the next big Starz hit, right? But it was on Starz. It was on Starz. This is a show that should have been on like USA Network or something, or TBS, something that was a little more accessible. TNT.
That was definitely their first mistake was putting it on Starz.
Yeah, and so
if they were going to sign a deal with somebody on a cable network, you do with HBO.
Exactly. Right. But HBO didn't come to them. This contract was signed, and this is outside of my interview with him. I talked with him, but the things I've heard was this contract was signed well before Doctor Who kind of hit popularity in the U.S. in the magnitude it did now, so it is now. So,
could you imagine a HBO version of Torchwood?
Oh man, that would be fantastic! Fantastic. I'd watch too. But really, really fantastic guy. And I have some more notes that I'm gonna talk to.
I hope he finds more success. I mean, I'm glad he's become a regular on Arrow now. Mm-hmm. And he's very good on that show. He was very good on Who. He's very good on Torchwood in spite of the material. And that's also a premise I think has legs if it wanted to return.
Yeah.
He does seem like a nice look. I actually picked up both of his he's got two autobiographies out.
Okay.
And I actually read both of them, picked them up in the UK. And the first one in particular is a really good read. Okay. Just because obviously, born in Scotland, moved to the States. Back and forth, and some of the issues he had growing up, and he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
I have some news. This is kind of coming off E3, and this is just scuttlebutt.
You told me this.
Which is great. My ears perked up.
All right. So I spoke to a couple of people at E3 because obviously, we all would like that mythical thing of a good Doctor Who game to appear.
Let's rewind a little bit and remind people that you had suggested doing a Lego Doctor Who a while back.
Yeah, and then of course we saw that Doctor Who made the final round of the prototypes for Lego and got beaten by female scientist or something.
Mm-hmm.
Is
something whatever. A little more generic, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe we'll see that again. But I was having a couple of conversations with guys from two different companies. One from Traveller's Tales, who obviously do the Lego stuff, and it's their number one internal wanna do. And now that Lego has it high on their radar after the success, it's not beyond the realms of possibility.
Excellent.
All right.
And then potentially even more exciting,
mm-hmm.
I was talking to a rep from Telltale Games. And the two most requested franchises for Telltale to work on were Game of Thrones and Doctor Who. And now that Game of Thrones is out of the way and is actually happening, the number one most requested is Doctor Who. And it's something they are very keen to pursue.
And so, Wolf Among Us is wrapping up, I believe, next week. Which means a lot of those team members are going to be available to start working on other projects.
Yeah, and obviously, I can't name who said this stuff to me, but it's one of those things that they may have just been blowing smoke, but I don't think so. And it just gives us hope that we're going to get something beyond a crappy PSN game and a mediocre card trading app game.
If they're blowing smoke, it's smoke that I am fully willing to inhale.
as a president, you can't inhale the smoke.
Yeah. Hang on. So basically, they're blowing smoke up my ass, and you want to inhale it. All right, whatever. Okay.
So this is how
inhale it. I will inhale it till the end of the day, and I will happily accept the cancer disappointment when it comes later. But
Marcus's ass cancer is headed your way.
Oh God! Don't get that trending on Twitter.
Everyone listening right now.
Hashtag Marcass cancer. So when Marcus kind of told me this. We were hanging out at the Fig over in LA, and the infamous poolside.
The Nexus of E3.
And so everybody had had several drinks in them. So he came over to me and just, let me tell you this and this. And so I think this was like Tuesday or Wednesday night. Yeah.
It was at the Devon party.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, still, we had several things to drink ahead of time. But so I thought he was drunk when he was just spouting things out at first. But then he got really serious and started, he actually kind of broke down a little bit more detail to me. And I was, needless to say, I've been pretty excited ever since. If these things end up happening, first of all, it's great that there are continue to be huge fans of Doctor Who in,
in
the gaming community. And it's something that we've been waiting. That last game was a disaster. The Eternity Clock, the iOS game is basically Puzzles and Dragons with a Doctor Who sheen on it. And it's like, it's not really anything special. The adventure games the BBC created years ago were at best, but this could potentially be something in the hands of a developer that loves Doctor Who, that has Doctor Who geeks on staff. These could be really fantastic ideas. I could definitely see this.
Let's get a campaign going. If you listen to this and you want to play a Telltale or a Traveler's Tale version of Doctor Who, or both Lego Doctor Who and the amazing Telltale version, you need to do three things. First, you need to email Telltale and Traveler's Tales and let them know that you want this. But most importantly, you have to email BBC Worldwide. Mm-hmm. You have to get into, start petitioning. And I'm not talking about a change.org petition, but you definitely need to start getting, people emailing and saying, we want a Doctor Who game. These are the games that we want. And these are the games that will make money for the BBC, because that's all they want to hear about.
Yep.
I mean, if you turn around and say, this will make money for the BBC and will fit within, what Doctor Who is, they will eventually start to listen. So this could be the start.
And the thing of it is, like you mentioned, those dudes are all, like, they all want to make those games. The stumbling block is the BBC. It's the BBC who doesn't want to, like, do the legwork of finding out who would be the best person to do this. They want to find who will be the cheapest person that can do this. Like, that's what they want. They want to, like, very low cost of, like, having to license it out. Whoever will do it for them, without having to, like, lowest bidder type thing.
The advantage.
I think they just don't get it. I think they don't get games. I mean, it's the BBC. They are, they're not exactly the sharpest tools in the shed for a lot of things. I think they just don't get the potential global appeal of this. And yes, is it going to cost a couple of million or more to produce a Doctor Who Lego game? Yes, but how much will you rake back in? And what could perfectly suit a time traveler who doesn't carry a gun?
Right.
And all the different things that you could introduce in, and even go the Harry Potter route and get it going from, you have two different sets of Doctor Who's. I mean, mix and match the Doctors. They really need to get with the program, but I feel they need to do that in general. I mean, the BBC, on a lot of their merch stuff over here is never as good as it is back in the UK. I mean, the DVD releases, we all, before they cancelled Doctor Who Confidential, that's all we got was down versions. And a lot of the problems have come from the Tory government in the UK and the bullshit they're actually forcing the BBC to do to earn its license money now. Because again, the Tories are assholes. But
that's why you live in America. You're on the run from the Tories.
No, trust me, they need to be on the run from me, because if they I'm going back there. If the master could become prime minister, who knows? That's the thing. How cool. I mean, we could do our own Let's Plays. We could basically just record us playing the games.
Well, on that impressively high note, what better way to get the summer?
I can't follow any of that. That was
awesome.
Next level shit.
I mean, we have a new season coming up. We have, we can all get on our horses, and we'll put some links. I'll throw some links in this post. And God, I gotta get the stupid. I promise you, I'll get the Lonely TARDIS website up. I have the domain name. I have the hosting ready. I'll get the website up, and we'll get rocking. We'll list the information in there for where you can contact Telltale and you know, Traveler's Tales and the BBC, which is the kind of the ringleader of all this. Lego, we'll put a bunch of contact information in there of who to contact, because God, I mean, these would be fantastic games, and it really is a fantastic time for Doctor Who fans. I mean, I'm staring at my shelf right now, and I have all these, I have all this Doctor Who paraphernalia on the shelf below all my Skylanders paraphernalia, and I start all of a sudden in my head, I'm thinking, wouldn't a Doctor Who Skylanders game be fantastic? I would have every one of these figurines.
Not falling into that.
You are
What
if you take the character? Just got the
biggest merchandising
moment. What if every character you put on, instead of it just appearing in the portal, it actually is a Doctor regenerating? How?
Every time,
and it's a TARDIS instead of a portal. That's it, guys. I'm done. Activision, get on this.
You put the figure on the portal, and then every time you do it, it makes a noise.
I love it.
But seriously, don't give that to Activision.
Dude, it can't be Activision. It can't be Activision. It has to be Disney Infinity.
There you go. Yeah, definitely. All right, everybody. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Please rate and review us on iTunes. We're getting some great ratings. You know, we're going to continue putting the show out for you guys. Really, really thank you guys for listening. Thank you, fine, wonderful gentlemen, for being on the episode. Marcus, as usual, thank you so much.
Joachim Bauer.
Steve. That's Welsh. You speak a whole different English language. Just kidding. In LA, he gave me just this impressive hug that I think lifted me up off the ground. And I think my back still hurts after that, although that's not from the hug. Steven, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, sure, you betcha, Dally. You know, it's been a pleasure to be on the show.
Is that like an Alabama Swede?
What the hell was that?
That is my North Dakota accent that I just wanted to do for you. Marcus inspired me to do something there. And I'm trying to, do some co-marketing with the Fargo TV series being as popular as it is now.
Are you on that show yet? You need to be on that show.
Oh, I play every character.
You play every character.
I don't know if you watch the credits.
Sean, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure, though now I'm a little bummed out I didn't get a hug in L.A.
Oh, you got a hug for me.
I didn't see you, dude. I didn't see you. You were off being Mr. Uber PR guy, whereas I was only just wandering around looking at games. And I tell you what, Dali, I'm going to incentivize you to get the website up.
Okay.
Because you get the website up, I will send you, like I said, all the pictures.
Beautiful.
And not only that, I have something very cool which I wasn't able to use. You know how they'd have those fat head things you stick on the walls? And right. I have one that goes over a door. That's the TARDIS.
That is brilliant. Unfortunately,
it's too big for my door. I bought it myself from ThinkGeek. And, you get that thing up and we can run a competition to give it away.
Yes, this sounds like a plan. This sounds like a plan. So I think coming right back from the holiday, the website will be up, maybe even before then. We definitely want to get everybody jumping on the website. And we can kind of make it a fantastic blog for, a site for all of us, for all the fans to hop on and chat and keep up to date with us. You can find me at Dolly Domofsky. You can find Marcus at Annoyed Gamer. You can find Steven at Steven Strom. You can find Sean at Sean Norton. And you can find us at Lonely TARDIS. And we will see you guys on the next episode of The Lonely TARDIS. Bye-bye.
Miss you already.
Ooh. Ooh.